you would, Romans chapter 8. Keep them open. We're going to go a few places. I actually had someone ask me to preach on something tonight, and that person's not here, so that happens sometimes. But while you're turning Romans chapter 8, I want to say this, and I want you to, I'll do it as groundwork for the message. I appreciated something that happened this week. The Alabama football team, I don't know if any of you saw that, went up to the White House. You know, a lot of the sports people have refused, or the players at NBA and NFL and all that's refused to go for this, that, and it. They went up there, and not because they were national champions in football, but they not only went up there, they gathered around the president, and they put their hands on him, began to pray for him. And I was thinking this week that he truly needs prayers. There's a lot of things about his character I didn't care for. When he ran, I knew about his character. I do believe that there's a lot of things that's changed in his life over the period of time. But there's a great danger that we see happening. If they're able to pull this off, it will destroy democracy in America. If they are able to come in and use the swamp, Democrats, Republicans as well, that wants to make careers and make government so big that you can't touch it and I can't touch it, and they can take it and do whatever they want to do with it. That's a danger right now, and you see how dangerous it is, because you see on one side, you know, Hillary that run and all the things that she did, and they just blinked an eye and let it go. And yet they're going and they're invading and they're using the powers that are, and the government powers of that should be neutral, and they're trying to bring this president down. If they're successful in it, you'll never have another one that conservative that be able to rise up and go up there to try to clean the swamp. The sad part about it is he's getting shots from both sides and undercut. I said that to say this. Tonight, someone asked me to preach upon and teach upon the security of salvation. And I know I do that some quite a bit, but let me say this. When you deal with salvation, you deal with a soul for eternity. There can be no greater knowledge that you obtain than to understand two things. One is how to be saved. And number two, how do you know that you're saved? Now, let me say this before I get into the message. I always like to clarify. There's a lot of people who claims to be saved that's not saved. The Bible says that. It's not me judging. I really worry about people that never has an interest in coming and being involved in things of God. Because the Bible says that we, when we are born again, we have a spirit and we're a new creature. We should have something in us that makes us desire to be about the Father's business. Amen. If you look in chapter 8, and keep your Bibles open in chapter 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, there is therefore what? Now, right now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, we've been given the Spirit. The Bible says we don't have to wait till we get in heaven. Right now, having the Spirit, having born again, there is now no condemnation. We are not condemned. Jesus said this and told Nicodemus this in verse number 17 of chapter 3. After he got through giving John 3:16, verse 17 said, he came not into the world, condemned the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Somebody said, well, what do I have to do to go to hell? Just do nothing. And you, because you are already condemned. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but since we're in Romans, keep your finger there a minute and turn with me to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse number 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, what? Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believe in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now also, if you look in verse number 13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Turn back and keep your finger in chapter 8, but turn back in chapter 4. And those as well in chapter 4, in verse number 5. The Bible says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now I want you to notice the words worketh not. Now I want you to get this just a few moments, and I want to bring a thought out tonight. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. We, as Baptists, gets condemned because we believe that when someone is saved, they are eternally saved. We get called, it gets said all kinds of things, but there's some things that they don't teach that we teach. We teach that every child of God is chastened by God. He's a son of God that God loves, and he chastens him. We find that in Hebrews chapter 12. We find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and other places as well. But if you're a child of God, he chastens you. But we also find that there are people that professes to be saved that's not saved, never was. Even some people that's active in doing things for the Lord has never been saved. That's why he says, in that day, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, we not prophesy in thy name, cast out devils, do many wonderful works. He'll say, depart from me, ye work of iniquity, I never knew you. They never were saved, yet they were still performing, involved in things. But tonight I want to look, and I want to look at the assurance part. I want you to understand what it means to be saved, and I want you to understand some truths that the Bible teaches. Now, let me say this. I said that about President Trump to lead into this. Now listen to me very carefully. Their hope in Washington is to take down one at a time around President Trump until they could get him and find some way that they can pin something on him. That's their goal. If Satan could ever take one saved person and take their salvation, he would take everybody's salvation. He would not stop until he would rob every one of us of our salvation. He would destroy the plan of God if he was able to take your salvation. Tonight I want to look upon who did the work for you to be saved. Here Romans says, and Paul wrote, he said that he worketh not, but believeth. Now listen to me, and let me get this across to you. Salvation can only come, you young people, listen to me. Salvation can only come when you believe in your heart what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary, and you believe it to the point that you are willing to turn from yourself and turn to him to save your soul. The moment that you believe and that faith produces repentance and faith and repentance toward God, and faith in Christ Jesus, the moment that you exercise that, you are saved. You're saved. Now, tonight I want to show you a couple things about who, once you are saved, who keeps you saved. How do you know that you're saved? Well, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 that we can know that we are saved. We can know that we're a son of God. So therefore, it is obvious to know. Now, Job, he knew it way back then because he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he knew that in the last day where he'd be standing. David knew. He said, when I awake in his likeness, I shall be satisfied. Not if I awake in his likeness, when I awake in his likeness. They had confidence. Now, I'm going to show you in a little bit, but stay with me a minute and look again, if you would, in chapter 8 and verse number 1. Notice again, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So first of all, I want you to notice that God promises us that there is no condemnation right now with you. Means you cannot be condemned. The word condemnation means the act of condemning. You cannot be condemned if you have believed in your heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You called upon Him to save you. Now, how many of you did it from your heart? Now, if you did it from your head, you did it halfway and you didn't mean it and you just did this, did that, it's not going to do you good. But if you did it from your heart, you're saved. You believe in Him. You got the Spirit of God living in you. And you ought to be in Christ Jesus. You ought to have the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. If you look in chapter 8, look if you would in verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, what? He is none of his. Now, the Spirit of Christ is what's going to lead you to do things differently because you are now a new creature. It makes you a new creature. You have a new nature. You have a divine nature. Because you have a divine nature, because you're a new creature, the Spirit of God leads you to do things differently than what you did before you got saved. Somebody said, I don't understand how God changes you. The reason why God changed you, because He does a work in you. He's the one who saves you. You believe. Amen. He does a work. Amen. Now look on. Look if you would in Philippians chapter number 1. We find this truth that I just said. Philippians chapter 1. Notice what he says in verse 6. Paul writes, being what? Confident of this very thing, that He, talking about God, which hath begun a good what? Work in you, will perform it until when? You know when the day of Jesus Christ is? It's when you get to heaven and you get your new body. So look here. Who performs the work? God did. Now notice what else? How long is He going to perform it? Until the day you get to heaven. That's why the Bible says you're sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption, till you get your redeemed body. And so God was the one doing the work. Look if you would. He began the work, and who performs it? God continues to perform it. So we have perseverance with God. He continues to work in us. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine what we would be like? What kind of father we would have in heaven if He said, listen, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And so He told Brother Porter, He said, Brother Porter, you believe upon Jesus, you can become my son. Then tomorrow He said, oh, I don't like what you did, you're no longer my son. Can you imagine what it'd be like to have parents that one day said, I love you, and the next day said, I don't want nothing to do with you, leave. You're not mine anymore. And then the next time you turn around, well, I love you. Come here. Next day, I don't love you. Get out of here. I don't want you no more. Now, you can imagine how that would tear you up. Imagine what state we would be in as Christians if God's love was dependent upon our actions. How many of you ever disappoint God? You sung that song the other day. our actions caused them pain. What I'm trying to get across to you is this. It's not your work. It's God's work. He started it. He performed it. And he performs it in you. And that's why the Bible calls us his workmanship. He is working on us. Now look on, if you would. Also look back, if you would, in Romans chapter 8 again. We are also predestinated. Boy, some people are scared of that word. Look in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. The moment that you had faith in Jesus Christ, you're justified. Everybody who he's justified, he will glorify. Now, stay with me a minute, and I'll show you this if you'll stay with me a little bit. But what I want you to understand is this. What God has predetermined and predestined is this. That everybody that will believe in Jesus will end up in heaven. They will become a son of God. And they are predetermined. And what he does is, the moment that you get saved, he begins to work on your life to conform you more like the image of his Son. How many of you, since you've been saved, has God showed you something in your life and he's beginning to work on you on that thing? That's what God does. You say, well, I sure ain't perfect. No, but turn in Hebrews chapter 10 a moment. In Hebrews chapter 10, notice what the Bible says this. And what I want you to understand about predestination is this. God predetermined that everyone who would come believing upon his Son would be saved, they would be justified, and they would eventually be glorified. But look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter number 10. In Hebrews 10, notice if you would in verse number 14. For by one offering he hath what? Perfected for how long? Forever, who? Them that are what? Those of us who have been saved, he has perfected. You say, am I perfect? No, but when he gets through with me and completes me, I will be perfect. Without spot, without blemish. You say, you ain't sure ain't much now. No, but thank God, he still saved my soul. And thank God I'm not dependent upon this guy right here to get me there. Buddy, I would lose track. I'm glad that I have been perfected forever when I believed and was sanctified through Jesus Christ. Now, the key is being saved. But once you're saved, you can have assurance in the fact of your salvation. Because what you need to understand is this, you have been perfected by God, and when he gets through, you will be just like Jesus. As we see him, we will be like him. And we will be without sin, without spot, without blemish, and we will not have anything that we have right now. Isn't God good? Now, how many of you think you've got there yet? Now, how many of you parents are so naive you think your children's got there? Yeah. My point is this. We are perfected by the work of God. Not only that, but also turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I know you're familiar with this verse, and probably most of the verses I'm turning to, but I want you to see this. In chapter 5, notice if you would in verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be what? In Christ, he is what? You see, that's the position that you're in now. The moment that you believe, you are in Christ. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. He can't take you. Can I tell you this? If the devil ever took one of the very weakest of God's children, let me just use a throw name out there, Lot. By all means, think about what all Lot did. by all means, I would say, man, that guy couldn't be saved. But if the devil had got Lot, he'd be after you to take yours. If he took hers, he'd take yours, he'd take yours, he'd take mine, he'd take this one, and soon he'd take Christ. But he can't do that. As a matter of fact, knows if you would, in John chapter number 5, what we possess. But position-wise, we are in Christ Jesus. But John chapter 5 knows what he says. Look, if you would, in verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what? And shall not come into what? But is passed from death unto life. I want you to understand what you possess right now. You possess everlasting life. You want me to define it? It means everlasting. It doesn't end. You're given the promise of eternal life. Nothing can interrupt your eternal life. You never lose your relationship with God. You only lose your fellowship with God. My point and what I'm trying to get across to you is this. Each of you that are saved, you possess eternal life, and the devil can't do a thing about it. What he tries to do is he tries to get people to believe one of two things. When they want to be saved, he tries to make them believe that they can save themselves by good works. You're just as good as this other person over here who claims to be saved. So therefore, you got to go to heaven if they're going to heaven. And so what you do is you measure yourself against them. And he tries to convince you to do that because he knows if you'll do that, you'll be damned to hell because you'll be trusting in your works, not God's work. The second thing that he does whenever he does that is he comes to us and he tries his best to get us to believe that once we are saved, that there's no way that we can have eternal life. He gets you looking at you. And when you look at you, you think, there ain't no way I could be saved, or I wouldn't think this way, or I wouldn't do this, or I wouldn't have done that, or I wouldn't have done this. Then he comes to you and says, yeah, that's right, you can't be saved and do that. And what he does is he gets you defeated as a Christian. But he doesn't take it away. Turn, if you would, to John chapter number 17 while we're there. In John chapter 17, this is Jesus praying. And notice here in verse number 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give what? To as many as thou hast what? Given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know who God is? Do you know who Christ is? Now, notice if you would, on down in verse number 9. Notice here, the Bible says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast what? Given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, for I am glorified in them. Now, several times, I think seven in all, the Bible speaks in this prayer when Jesus is praying, he thanks God for those that he has given him. Do you think God the Father is going to give God the Son something and take it back from him? Are you kidding? Look, if you would, in verse number 12. Verse number 12, he says, and while I was with them in the world, I kept them by thy name. Those that gave us me, I have what? And what? None of them is what? But the son of prediction, which was Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He was the devil from the beginning, by the way, folks. So don't let that throw you. Now, also notice, if you would, in chapter 17, verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest what? Keep them from evil, right? Look on, if you would, in verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall what? Believe on me through their word. And listen, did you know he's praying for you right now? Isn't that wonderful? And by the way, did Jesus ever have a prayer he prayed that wasn't answered? Look, if you would, in verse 24. Father, I will. This is Jesus. And by the way, this is the only place in the Bible where Jesus said, this is what my will is, Father. Always and everywhere other places, his will. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast what? Given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast what? Given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He said, those that you've given me and those that you committed me before I ever came and died upon the cross of Calvary, before we ever created mankind, those that you promised me and have given me, he said, my will is that none of them would be lost. They'd all be right here. And his will prevail. Look on, if you would, in chapter 10 of John, real quickly. John chapter 10. John chapter number 10, look if you would in verse number 28. Jesus says, I give unto them what? And they shall what? You know what the word perish means? It means you don't have the ability to destroy yourself. Did you know that? You can't perish. You can't destroy yourself. Why? You're being kept by the power of God. Look on, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man, what? Pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, who's going to pluck you? Who's going to take you? Can I tell you this? Don't let the devil, if you have believed in your heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, don't let the devil keep you awake by making you think that he's going to come and steal your soul back. Don't make him have you cause doubts. Well, I'm not good enough, or I've not done this, I've not done that. What you need to do is this. Understand that it's your belief and trust. Show me one place in the Bible other than that Jesus said anything else other than believe upon what he's done upon the cross of Calvary. Now, let me take you two more places and I'll close. Look, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I know most of these verses you're all familiar with, but like I said, someone had asked me to bring this about and I prepared for it, and maybe God had a purpose for it as it is. I've learned this thing about the Word of God. It never returns void. Therefore, as long as you stay in the Bible, you can't ever preach a bad message. Now, when you start interjecting your stuff in there, you kind of mess it up. But the Word of God has a life of its own. Look, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Notice, if you would, begin reading with me in verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for who? You. Who are kept by what? Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You're being kept by the power of God. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm weak. I know, that's why God didn't leave it up to you to keep yourself. Amen. It's his power that keeps you. Turn back, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to close right there where I started. Romans chapter 8. Again, I know these verses are very familiar to many of you, but sometimes they do my heart good to read them again. Romans 8, verse number 31, begin reading with me here. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't it good to know that it's not he that worketh, but he that believeth? Folks, I cannot make it any plainer than what God has in his word. If you're all the time struggling about yourself, you're looking at the wrong one about your salvation. Jesus is the one you keep your eyes fixed upon. As long as you have believed from your heart that God has provided him to die for your sins and has resurrected and he's gone to be with God, God on his right hand, and it's through Jesus Christ that you are saved and brought to the Father. When you call upon him believing that, you have done all that you can do. Otherwise, when you got to heaven, you'd be boasting about what all you did. When you get to heaven, it'll all be because you believed. But it will all be because of what he worked out for you. Do you understand that the works is the work of God? And Satan and all his demons cannot undo one soul that's been secured by the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, I've lost none. Son prediction, scriptures be fulfilled. He was a devil from the beginning. The son of prediction, the same one's going to come back as the Antichrist. The Bible calls him son of prediction. The Bible says Judas went to his own place. He was a devil from the very beginning. So don't think that somehow, I've heard people say this, boy, Judas preached and everything. You don't ever find him preaching in the Bible. You find him holding the bag. You say, well, he went out with those. Yeah, but I'd say Judas went out carrying the bag and everybody else did other things. But anyway, it had just been words. My point is this. The work is done by God. Don't ever forget that. And he that began the work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. Maybe you're here and you have been struggling with your salvation. And maybe you just need to come and say, God, I need to get this beyond me so I can just put my faith and rest in you, and I can have that peace that passes all understanding. Let me ask you this. If something happened that you were going to have to face death within a short period of time, maybe a few weeks, maybe a month or two, what would be, pay attention right here, look here. What would be the greatest comfort that you would have? If you knew you were going to die, what would be your greatest comfort in this earth? Your bank account? What position you held? There'd only be one thing that'd mean anything. Everything else you're going to leave behind. And so therefore, listen, they can say what they want to. But I'm going to say this. It's a pretty dangerous position for churches to run around and proclaim that your salvation is dependent upon you and that you can gain it and lose it, because that's taking the work away from the one that did it. and the one that performs it, and the one that keeps you. And that's putting it upon you. And if it was upon us, every one of us, the devil would have it before we could go home tonight. And he'd rob us of it. But thank God there's someone greater in us than he. Would you come if God laid upon your hearts? We sing, Brother Porter.